everybody, hey, we're one church at all these different campuses, so we like to just be polite and welcome everyone. Would you just join me? Maybe we'll just kind of say hello and howdy to everybody on the other side of the camera at Edgewood and Abingdon, Aberdeen, Mountain Road, online people. Hi, Mom. On the other side of the camera, she watches as well. So we're a couple weeks into this series. If you know, you know. You know, it's like a saying, right? That's like an inside joke or a wink, wink. If you know, you know. Like if someone posts a picture that says, wow, things really got crazy at the party, but you weren't at the party, you're like, whatever, right? But if you were at the party, right, and you saw Bob jump off the garage into the pool with his clothes on and his girlfriend get really mad and throw his phone in the pool, now you know, right? And that's kind of the expression, if you know, you know. Or let's say you're at a party playing cards and somebody wins a close game of cards and all of a sudden they're kind of smug and they just start singing, "You got to know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em." Some of you know. Know when to. Now, all the Utes right now are like, what just happened here? See? But if you know, you know. And once you do know, I'm not going to explain that to you kids. Once you do know, though, it kind of opens your eyes and your perspective a little bit, and you see things differently, don't you? And of course, the whole point of this whole thing is that, you know, Jesus is something and someone that everybody has some idea or impression of. But it's so often a skewed perspective and almost anything but the real Jesus. And happily, we don't have to wonder. Jesus is pretty clear so many times in so many ways. Especially in the Gospels, he has these seven sayings where he says, "I am," and he just lays it out who he is. And so what we're doing is we're looking at those, not so we can kind of get smarter or get a better, you know, answer on a test like who's Jesus, but so that we could personally encounter him and experience him for who he truly is. So I hope that happens for you today, all right? So in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, there's four biographies kind of Jesus that are contained in the Scripture, and John's the fourth of those, and that's where these I am statements are contained. And they each begin with that phrase, I am, and of course, we reminded ourselves in recent weeks why that's so significant, why especially like the Jews in the days in which Jesus first said these words, it would have like, boom, they would have heard those words, I am, like, what did he just say? Because I am, of course, is the name of God. Like, I am the one who revealed himself to Moses. And Jesus clearly calls, you know, that name for himself, which is a bold and audacious thing to do when he says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. All these different statements opening up some huge, beautiful statements about Jesus. Once you see Jesus for who he is and experience him in these ways, you can never kind of go back and unsee it and unexperience it, because once you know, you know, and Jesus really wants you to know. So let's just, would you just pray with me as we kind of dive in today? Let's just pray. God, we pray that we will, as we open your word today, you would help every one of us to open our hearts as well, so that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and all God's people said, amen. Now, the idea of home is a very, very powerful one, okay? The idea of home, and I realize that for many people, it's not a pleasant image. Maybe it was tough growing up, or maybe is right now not a very happy place, and so I realize that home isn't always a great place for everyone. But here's what's also true, is that for many, many other people, home is exactly the opposite of that. And home is warm and wonderful. And it's home. We use home to refer to, you know, that place in our minds and our hearts that's a place at peace, you know, where we know we belong, where we fit in and we're loved and we're wanted and we can relax and let our hair down. And here's the thing, even if your actual home was or is pretty stinky, we all know that what home is supposed to be, don't we? Like, we know what it's supposed to be. That's why I think we love and long for that idea of home and why it's so powerful. In fact, I think the longing for all the things that home is one of our deepest longings in life. I really do. It's our ache to be safe and to connect and to belong in a place where we fit and are loved and protected and fed and provided for. Our happy place is our home. And I think it's universal and it's super strong. And I think that's one of the reasons we go looking for home. You know, we're always kind of looking for home, trying to find our way back home, aren't we? Always. In fact, sometimes literally. Have you ever, anybody ever tried to go back to like a childhood home or the old home place? Everyone done that? It's just weird, isn't it? It's like a swirl of emotions that you think you're going to go home, but I guess it's Thomas Wolfe who said you can't really ever go home, and it's true. It's like a weird thing. I mean, when I go back to Minnesota, pretty often I'll drive by both of the houses, but I'm thinking now of the one I did some growing up in Minneapolis. In fact, you know, last summer I was there. I parked outside. I'm creeping on them, you know, and the whole thing. And, you know, one time a lady came out and kind of shooed me away, but I'm sitting there. It's like, I'm 6 years old, you know, right there in the yard, which used to be so big and now is so small. But I could just see right there in the cul-de-sac, right by the yard, my cousin Mary. It was a girl's bike, but that's where I learned to ride my bike with my mom. And then my best friend Jimmy from two doors down, he'd come over and we would play in those woods right there. I'm looking at the woods and trying to remember, and just I'm reliving stuff. And there's the train tracks, you know, where we used to put the pennies on the tracks and all that stuff, and we'd play till after dark, and then at night we'd approach the house, and there you could see the lights shining out the windows like big open arms saying, "Welcome home." You go up those steps and reach up, because I was a little guy, to the handle on that door, and you could hear, I can still hear the hinges in the particular way that they made that sound when the door swung open. And I can smell my mom's beef stew on the stove, and I can see my dad in the chair and hear my sister's cackling little voice and my brother's goofing off, and knowing that even though I was the littlest and the youngest and the smartest and the youngest, there was still a place for me at the table, you know, because it was home. And even if you're like me and you kind of idealize certain things about it, and it wasn't always as great as you remember it to be, there's that longing that's there, isn't it, to go back. And I think we long sometimes to go back to those maybe simple, beautiful places where memories were born. And in fact, when we say, "I want to go back and recapture it," I don't think we really do. I think what we're actually saying is, "I want to find it again." We say, "I want to go back," but we want the warmth and the belonging and the sense of connection that maybe for here and there in a moment we got as a child, where we were content and all was right with the world and there was a peace and it was, life was big and large and wonderful and we were protected and there was provision and there were people. And don't know what your life was like growing up. It might not have been anything like that, but we all long for that and we go looking for it. I mean, sometimes we go literally knocking on doors. I one time, a few years ago, went and knocked on the door of that old house. I don't know what in the world I was thinking or what I thought was going to happen. Like, are they going to invite me in? My mom's going to be there, and I sit on her lap and I get out my G.I. Joe again. I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Maybe it's a good thing nobody answered the door, but I walked off that porch kind of with a weird emptiness. And I thought, maybe that's a little symbolic for how every single one of us longs for all that home represents. For that belonging, that safety, provision, and protection. And how we go knocking on so many doors, don't we? Trying to find it. Maybe behind this door, I'll finally kind of find what I feel like I need. What in some idyllic picture in our mind we had once, maybe, or were born for. We go knocking on doors. Scripture says that we're kind of like sheep that wander and go astray, and what we need is a shepherd who will find us and help us get home to a sheepfold or a safe pen where we belong, where we can find rest and protection and be at peace, safe and happy, home. But when we don't, listen to that voice, that shepherd's voice, what do? We go knocking on doors, don't we? Trying to find something on the other side of these doors that will help us. And can you just think of all the ways that we go knocking on doors? My goodness. Thinking that it will lead us to what we want. Well, boy, if I knock on this door, maybe on the other side, I'll be more popular and I'll feel different about myself. Or if I got a different job, or I got a raise, or I had more money, or I could change careers, or we just knock, 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 knock. If I once I get through school, you know, if I could just get a divorce, once I get retired, if the kids would leave the house, if I had more kids, if I had grandkids, whatever, just knock, 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 this door, that door, this door, that door. And I was just hoping you could be honest for a little bit with me today, that you'd maybe think about how in your life, like, what doors are you kind of knocking on, hoping that once they open to you, you'd find this full, rich, abundant, wonderful life? Like, let's be honest with yourself. Like, what doors are you knocking on that you're believing if the right one would swing open to you, you'd go in and you'd find really a full, beautiful life that's home? And I wanted to come to you today just from my own personal experience and from the witness of Scripture and also from the very mouth of Jesus to say that the home that we're all looking for is not really a place at all, but it's a person. A person who provides a presence so that you will always be loved and never alone, always with family in life's hardest and highest moments. And this home we long for, it's not found in real estate, it's found in a relationship. It's not a piece of ground, it's God Himself. The home our hearts long for is life with God. It really is. And Jesus stands before us today to say, I'm the door. I am the door that swings to what you're looking for. So John chapter 10 is where we find Jesus saying these words, and we're going to dig into it a little bit. So if you have a Bible, you're welcome to open it up, John chapter 10. Or if you got it on your phone, the Bible app or whatever, we'll put it on the screen as well, so don't worry. What's going on in John chapter 10? Well, in John chapter 9, just before this, Jesus had healed this man who was born blind, and it's like he's been knocking on doors trying to find help and home and healing his whole life, and Jesus gives it to him in an instant. And it's like, wow, amazing, good thing, right? Except the religious leaders in those days were very against Jesus, and they're like, no, this is not good. This is a bad thing. Jesus shouldn't have done it. It's a wrong day to do it. It's Sabbath. And besides, he's a bad guy. He's a sinner. And they do everything they can to steer people away from Jesus. And I think that's kind of what's in Jesus' mind when he speaks here in John chapter 10. So let's take several verses now, almost the first 10 verses. So let's just see what words and phrases and ideas pop out at us. All right, let's go. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Kind of whenever he says that, he's kind of like, listen up now. This next part's important. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate. Every time you see the word gate in this translation, it's the same word as what? Door. Door, gate, it's the opening, okay? That one must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate or the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. I tell you the truth, I am the gate. I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Life to the, what's the word? Full. Life to the full. My goal, Jesus says in verse 10 there, is to give you a full, the word is abundant. The old translations would say, Jesus wants to give you life abundant. Life abundantly, to the full, like the best kind of life. And if you want that life, I can provide it for you. I've got a pen, a place for you to dwell. It's amazing. It's life, and I'm the door to it all. Now, Jesus is using analogies that were familiar to those people in those days, sheep and shepherds and pens and folds and things like that. He begins by saying, take a note here, that anybody who tries to tell you there's another way to get to the good life is a liar. He likens it to a guy climbing a fence like we used to do when, you know, the pools were closed at night and it got a hot night in Minnesota. You climb the fence and you jump in, right? I'm not advocating. I'm just saying someone might have done that. But you see someone climbing a fence, they're up to no good probably most of the time, right? And he said, he calls them thieves and robbers because they're trying to take sheep that don't belong to them. I think he's making a jab here at the religious leaders who are doing everything they can to discredit Jesus. He's saying, I'm the door. And they're saying, don't even listen to that guy. And they're doing everything they can to steer people away from him. And let's be honest, folks, there's still plenty of people who will do their level best to accomplish the same thing today. To discredit Jesus Christ, to say he's not the gate. There's no good life you're going to find through him. You're just going to find a bunch of religious rules and this outdated stuff. And people, Jesus is saying, who talk that way are not for you. They are against you. And we need to be honest and just acknowledge there are people who will try to steer you away from Jesus today. Like some might say, oh, well, I really am into science. And because of that, well, of course, that doesn't mix with faith or Jesus, so you have to take your pick, and I prefer to be, as if to imply, we're going to talk about this in future weeks, but as if science and faith somehow don't mix, which is like the furthest thing from the truth. But someone might say that because, and that's a way to lead you away. Or there are people who will say things like, you know, well, I used to believe, I used to be a Christian, but it's also toxic and bad and archaic, and I've grown out of that now. I'm all grown up. I'm done with it. And if you want to be enlightened and sophisticated and awakened like me, well, then you just need to leave Jesus as well. There's lots of different ways and reasons that people, it might sound different, but anything that steers us away, whether it's an ideology, a philosophy, or a person, Jesus says, you know, they're a bunch of liars, right? They really don't care about you because they're going to tell you that your heart's true home is somewhere else, but it's with me. He calls them robbers. It's the same word used to describe Judas. Okay, like someone who poses as a slick friend who's actually going to betray you and hurt you, who just kind of make, there's some people that if you just did everything they said, your life would be more empty, not more full, wouldn't it? So you have to realize, just to be smart, like there are ideologies and ideas and forces and people that are not pure, that are not good, that do not have good intentions, they do not have your good in mind, but they are doing everything they can to recruit you away from what is true and good and godly. And you're going to say there's a better home behind that door. And Jesus saying, I know you better than you know yourself. If you'll trust me, there's a home, a full life, a rich, a satisfying life. If you come to me, believe in me, trust in me, through me, there is opened up to you an abundant life now that is rich and satisfying and full and free. and it will lead to everlasting life when you don't have an answer for what you do when you die. What about that word? Life to the full. Life to the full. Is your life like life to the full? I've often wondered about that. It made me think of one time I was a youth pastor way back in the day. I took some kids to Burger King after school because that's what we did. Go get some health food. Three or four of us standing there at the Burger King counter, filling out my order, burger, shake, fries. You know how they do when they get the fries. They go over to this big bin where there are hundreds and hundreds of these greasy little morsels there, and they take that dustpan thing and they scoop up a whole bunch of them. And then they take that little tiny bag, and as your mouth starts to water, you get disappointed because they realize that that little bag's about the size of a credit card and it has an opening about like that, and they just kind of hold it there, and then they sprinkle it all over and it falls right back into the tray. And this girl comes and she plops down on my tray a bag with about six fries in it. She goes, "There you go." Now, I can be kind of cheap. I prefer to call it frugal. And I'm not easily embarrassed, so that's a dangerous combination. I got a problem with this bag of fries right here. So, before I knew what happened, I found myself saying, "Excuse me, is this French fry bag full?" That poor young kid sitting there under her hat, she had no idea. She gave me a blank stare, and she's just like, "What?" I said, "I was just wondering, is this French fry bag what you would call full?" Now there's four other heads at the counter kind of looking at me, looking down at their bag, looking at her, looking at my bag, and they're like, "Yeah, you know." The kids who are with me are slinking away with their heads covered, kind of like that. The worker says, "I guess so." And about that time, a manager is now hovering over her shoulder, this poor trainee, saying, "Is there a problem?" And I got to stick to my guns now, right? So I said, "Oh, no, I wouldn't say a problem. I just had a question. I was just wondering if this bag you see here, if this bag is what you would call full here at Burger King." The manager is very slick. Without missing a beat, took one look at the bag and said, "Oh, well, no, sir, they're not." And he grabbed my whole tray and he went over to that bin and he got the little dustpan thing and he did it again, but he made sure it was open, and he's filling it up. He does like three times. Now he's picking them up by hands with his gloves. He's stuffing them in one by one by one till the bag is splitting, and he puts another whole thing, and my tray is loaded with fries. He comes back with a big grin, puts it on the counter, and he says, "Those, sir, that's full." And everyone up and down the row, they begin to clap in Burger King right there. And, of course, they're like, "Hey, wait a second. Well, what about mine?" They want their bag full as well. I have always thought of that whenever I see this passage in John 10:10 where he says you can have life to the full, because what I feel like in my life sometimes and what I honestly see in a lot of lives of people who say I'm a Christian and the life of most Americans is just so far short of what I think Jesus promises when he says, "Come through the door, come home to a life that is rich and full and satisfying." Do you have abundant life with Jesus? We've taken his promise, and instead of abundant and full, we've just substituted it for busy. And they're not the same. We're settling for entertained. I'm entertained. You can have life and you'll be entertained. You'll never have a dull moment. They're not the same. We've substituted affluence, and it doesn't lead to the full good life. We've settled for having other people think that we're happy by what we post and what we say and what we hide in private, and it's not the same. And the good news of Jesus is that you don't have to live like everyone else in this shallow, stupid world we live in with these half-empty bags of fries. You can have abundant, overflowing, like that guy, he brought me this big, beautiful bouquet of cholesterol. It's like, thank you. It's like Jesus does that in a life once in a while. I'm the door to all of that. And there's so many of us, I think, that just actually have more stress, and we're following voices that say, "Oh, don't pay attention to Jesus, go this way." And we have more despair, more anxiousness, more comparisons, more worry. Some of us are caught up in all of that shallowness of living. If you still like, you have a lot of guilt in your life over something, or maybe not guilt, but just kind of shame, or you have regrets that you can't seem to shake, and they just stick with you, or you worry. Like, everyone worries sometimes, a little bit, but if you worry all the time, or you're like lonely a lot, and it's not just a feeling that comes and goes, but it's how you are deep in your bones, or you're afraid of so many things, or you harbor grudges, and it sort of is this inner driver to so many of your decisions, or you have a bitter heart, or an angry soul, or you've never learned how to have relationships that don't leave you kind of lacking. They're all transactional and shallow. This is how so many people live, and it's sucking the life out of us, and you don't have to live that way. Jesus says, let me fill up your fries. I can lead you to a real satisfying home you were made for, where you'll have more peace even in the middle of your problems, where you'll have more love even if you occasionally feel loneliness. You'll know you're never alone. Where you'll have hope even when you hurt. It's called life, capital L, and I'm the door that swings to it. What kind of life are you living? Because you don't have to live a little half-empty, puny bag of half dead, cold, stale fries and call it Christianity. When the world sees that, they go, I don't want anything to do with that. No wonder. There's something else here that's really wonderful about Jesus saying, I'm the gate, or I'm the door. Still, today, and in that part of the world then, if shepherds are going to take care of their sheep, what do they need? They need to construct a pen or a fold, a sheep fold or whatever. And it could be made of stone or dried mud. I've seen them in the wilderness where they're made of like sticks and brambles and bushes and whatever. And it has these walls that enfold to keep predators out and the sheep safe within. And there's one opening big enough for a sheep to get in and out. George Smith was traveling over there with a guide, and in that part of the world, he came across a shepherd who had one of these folds like that out in the wilderness, a pen with all the sides built up, and he says, that's where they go at night. And the shepherd's like, yes, sir. And when they do, they're perfectly at peace. It was a beautiful image of home and abundant, full life, like the provision of the sheep in the pen. But then George looked at the opening and says, wait a second, I see the walls, but there's an opening, there is no door. What's up with that? And the shepherd, without missing a beat, said, well, I am the door. Now, he wasn't a Christian. He probably never heard this passage from the Bible or knew anything about what Jesus said. He was just describing how sheepfolds work in that part of the world. How do you mean? You're the door. He says, well, when the sun goes down, the predators come out. And I make sure I call my sheep by name. I count them up. And as they come in, when they're all there, I just lie down in that open space. And no sheep goes out unless they step over me. And no wolf comes in because, well, I'm the door. And I wonder if that's something that's real for you in your life. Like when Jesus says, I'm the door, do you know that he's not just inviting you into something, he's protecting you from something? That the door that opens to abundant life also closes behind you, and there's a protection from all that would ultimately harm. Not from, he says, in this world you'll have trouble. There's trouble inside the pen too, but when he's the door, there's nothing that can ultimately get you. And I think it's important and a relevant word for us, because I think we're stressed out about a lot of things. We have been, especially the last few years, haven't we? And I just thought maybe it would be a good word for you today, if you're one who's feeling a little hunted and hounded and, you know, chased around with a gnawing sense of anxiety or worry or something beyond your control, whether it's family or, you know, finances or fears about tomorrow, I don't know. But when you feel haunted and hunted like that, Jesus, I think, would want you to have this scripture in mind to remind you that if you're a sheep in his fold, he calls you by name, you come in and you are safe. And I wonder if he had in mind scriptures like this from Psalm 91. Psalm 91, he would have recited so many times himself, you know, back in synagogue. But it says, whoever lives in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he's my, what's the word? Refuge and my fortress, my place of safety, my God in whom I trust. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's from 2 Thessalonians 3:3, a reminder next time you feel like the devil's out to get you. Or how about Philippians 4, which says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. When you're inside there, you can talk even in thanks for whatever comes because you know it's not going to get you. And then he goes on to say, I love this, then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And he says, his peace will guard your hearts and minds. So your heart and mind is like all these predators, anxious thoughts, negative thoughts, demonic thoughts, like, just all these things that want entrance into our hearts and minds. And Jesus says, my peace, like who I am, will stand guard. The word guard there is a word for like the same word used for a sentry, an armed guard, like a big dude named Vinny with bulging biceps and ugly tattoos, stands at the door of your heart saying, you're not getting by me because this one is mine. That's a beautiful image. And Jesus is saying, I'm the door like that. Only things bigger, tougher, stronger than me can get to you. Later, he would go on to say, nothing's going to snatch you out of my hands. It means I've got you. Greater is he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us and with us than he that is in the world, Scripture says. Can you picture yourself safe in the pen, maybe as you're lying your head on your pillow at night and all the worries and the stress can come knocking at the door and Jesus says, I've got this. You can just stay in bed. You don't even have to go to the door because Jesus is the door and he's protecting you. The scripture says you can cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Do you know that you're a little sheep? Can you hear Jesus saying, no one's going to snatch you? I'm your rock and your refuge. I am your protector and your provider. I'm your hiding place and your haven. I'm your happy place and your home. So when you feel hunted and hounded by the wolves of worry, just remember you're a sheep. He's calling you by name. He himself lays across the opening, and no one can get to you because he's the door. Now, one more idea to note is I don't know, maybe like me, you love this idea and this image that he talks about of how sheep, as dumb as they are, and they're pretty stupid from what I understand, they know how to listen to the voice of the shepherd. And they know his voice in particular among all the other voices. And so they follow, and he calls each one of them by name. Isn't that beautiful? Like not just a mass, meh. He's like, no, calling you by name and you by name. Which reminds me of a great video I saw, which I'd like to show you right now. Check this out. I love this. This is great. Watch this. Look at old doggos. How can you not love those little doggos?
Sky? Hunter? Hunter? Peppa? Bombay? Ozzy? Flint, Flint, Woody, Woody.
Woody needs a hearing aid.
Woody. Scout, Ruby, Roscoe, Sasha, Lola, Blake, Molly, Molly, Heidi. Heidi, come on. Good girl. Good pup.
Isn't that beautiful?
Right, well.
It's probably worth pointing out at this point that if those were cats, the cat would be like, kiss off, pal. I'll tell you when I'm coming. Call me by name. But anyway, The idea is there's a relationship there, you know, and there's a development there so that I can call you by name. Of course, we live in a culture with dogs. Jesus lived in a time when that would happen with sheep. They would know his voice. They know his voice, and he knows their name. They know his voice. He knows their name. Which still happens in all over the world today with shepherds. You know, I saw this video where several people were trying to call these sheep out in the field, but they weren't the shepherd, and the sheep just ignore them. And then, well, watch this. You can see the end of it. Those sheep know better. They're not paying any attention to her.
Look at them, look at them.
See their heads perking up? What I love about that clip is not only that the shepherd looks like Dwight Schrute. You maybe didn't notice that, but did you see how as soon as he started, you know, right away their heads went up, and then they came. Is that how you are with God? When he speaks, you listen. And when he calls, you come and you obey. I feel like sometimes the reason a lot of people have a half-empty bag of fries is they've got a half-empty heart of devotion. They got halfway obedience. And we just simply hear God calling, but we either ignore it or we don't do what he says. And we wonder why our lives sometimes are like half-full bags of fries. I believe God, through his son Jesus Christ, is speaking to each one of us right now, and he's calling you by name, and you have an opportunity to respond. I mean, do you know what is Jesus saying to you right now? You may not be a Christian person per se or someone who's brand new to this whole thing, but the living Jesus knows your name, and he's calling out to you. Not just calling to everybody, he's calling you by name. He knows the number of hairs you have on your head. He knows the decisions you're trying to make. He knows the battles you're fighting. He knows what's going on in your head space. He knows the hurts that you're harboring and all this stuff. He knows all of it, and he's calling us by name. I think there's a whole bunch of us that have said yes to Jesus, and I'm his sheep, and he's my shepherd, but the reality is we step right over him, and we're back out and looking for greener pastures somewhere else, knocking on other doors. And maybe today is your day just to say, you know what, I need to come home again to the abundant life, to a fuller, richer, satisfying life that I know is offered in Jesus, and I've been wandering a little. Some of us have fallen out of fellowship with Jesus and with other of his sheep. It's time to listen and obey. He's calling you back home. And I think that others of us, maybe for the first time, even today in this moment, need to hear the shepherd calling you home right up to the door, who is Jesus himself. And you need to come home today. You can do that today. Receive him. Trust him. Follow that call. And admit that you've been looking, you know, in all kinds of places, knocking on all kinds of doors, and none of it has really provided the thing that we all in our heart of hearts know we long for in a home. So trust him today. In 3 weeks, Easter. And on that day, we're going to have big pools of water at every one of our campuses, and it's a day for anyone who's never said yes to Jesus Christ to say yes and to get baptized. And it's an awesome day. If you've never been baptized, I'm telling you, I hope that you do. Come ready on Easter, and we'll be ready for you. You can register ahead of time or not. It doesn't matter. We're going to do them right in the service. It'll be a fun day, an amazing day. But some of you, you know, when I'm talking about everything I'm saying today, you're like, if you just be quiet enough, you'll listen, you'll hear your name being called by the Lord himself. He's calling you home, and he says, I am the door. And just, I think there's one other thing he makes really clear here, is that he's answering the question, how do I get home? How do I find the full life? How do I find the peace, the contentment, the best life now and eternal life forever? How do I get home so I have a better, rich, and satisfying life on earth? But how do I also dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Like when I die, I would love an answer for do I get to stay home? What's the way in? And Jesus says, I am. And he's making a kind of exclusive claim, saying, I am. I'm the way, the truth, and life. He's not saying I'm a new way, I'm a better way. He says, I am the way. I know you better than you know yourself. If you can humble yourself and admit that, then you're ready for him to lead you to the life that you're looking for. It's wonderfully good news that nobody has to climb over the wall and earn your way in and be a really good person or a religious person or smart enough or clever enough or, you know, morally superior. None of that. The only thing you need is to know that Jesus is calling you by name and you respond in faith, say, here I come, and the door will swing open for you and you can have a better life now and eternal life forever. How? Through Jesus who says, I am the door. But only you can respond to that shepherd. Only you can put your hand on the knob and turn that knob. So friends, in a world that's so full of darkness and confusion and chaos, isn't it good to know that at the end of a day, at the end of our lives, at this very moment, there's a home with a light on. Can you kind of see yourself like mounting those steps and going up to that porch and wondering, is this home? And you put your nose on the glass and you look through and you see people laughing and you hear good sounds and you can smell some beef stew and you wonder, is there a place for me around this table? And just then, as you're wondering that, you hear those familiar hinges swing open, except it's not a door, it's the heart of Jesus and the arms of Jesus saying, welcome home. Welcome home. And what you do next is up to you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, your powerful word that just gives us this beautiful image of what Jesus wanted to land in our hearts. That the thing we're looking for and the home we long for the most is found in you. Thank you for being patient with us while we knocked on lots of doors. Thanks for being full of grace and truth and for opening a way for every one of us to find a full and rich, abundant life, a satisfying life now and an eternal life with you forever. It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. We pray that you'll help us to listen to your voice as you call us by name in this moment and say yes to whatever you ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.